And so, Lord, now we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to really listen and hear you this morning speaking to us through that story of Mary. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as you'll see if you've looked at the newsletter, this week saw the festival of our patron saint, Saint Mary. And so I thought we'd spend a bit of time thinking about her this morning. And first of all, I just want to call you to sort of rewind a bit, if you can remember. If you were in and around St. Mary's during the pandemic, was it really 5 years ago? A group of us, mainly from the PCC, spent some time praying, reflecting on what our values are, or perhaps should be, here at St. Mary's. We got some feedback from the wider PCC and the wider church family. And as the thoughts sort of came together and crystallized, we came up with a group of six sort of key values which emerged. And these were characteristics that we wanted to affirm and to grow in. So they were part reality, they were part, this is how we already think that we are at St. Mary's, and also part aspirational, because there's always more that you could do, isn't there? This is how we want to become. And we wanted them to be things that other people would recognise in us and about us. We wanted them to be something that we could hold ourselves accountable to and challenge ourselves, you know, from time to time to remember, you know, this is how we promised ourselves that we will act. And the values then that emerged from this process are ones that they do appear on the screen, maybe a bit too small to read, most weeks here at the 10:30 service, when we pray our values prayer. And they are that we want to be those who are passionate for God, a church that's outward looking, and a church that's generous, loving, welcoming, and courageous. So passionate for God, outward looking, generous, loving, welcoming, and courageous. Now, that reading from Romans, St. Paul was writing to the early church in Rome, and he gave them quite a long list of values and things to sort of be aspiring to and ways to act. So we're quite lucky we've only got six to remember compared to that list from Romans. And we had a sermon series about these values. We revisited it a year or so, but it's high time, really, that we sort of look at them again, have a think about them. And I hope still feel that they are and should be foundational to our life together as the body of Christ, the family of God in this place. And so today, as we thought about Mary, it also felt like a good time to be looking at these. Because as I sort of read those words of Mary, as Elaine explained, what's become known in traditional circles as the Magnificat, I was struck by the parallels between sort of her life, Mary's life, and our values. It seems that St. Mary's values are St. Mary's values. Mary was clearly passionate for God. She burst into song, a song of praise to God, which seemed to spontaneously bubble up to overflowing from within her. My soul magnifies the Lord. My very being exalts the Lord my God. Mary's spirit rejoiced in God, her Saviour. He was the source of her joy, her elation. Her whole being was filled with thanksgiving and gratitude to him. She knew him as the one who cared for her, gave her a hope and a future, lifted her up even in the midst of trouble. What do we mean when we say that we want St. Mary's to be a church that's passionate for God? Perhaps passionate isn't a very English word, is it, really? We don't tend to get passionate. Well, unless you're standing in the stands at, you know, watching the football or the rugby, then we can get really passionate. I don't know what word you'd prefer to use there. Maybe ardent, committed, wholehearted. Paul talked about spiritual fervour. I think all those words work just as well. But like Mary, I hope we have that all-consuming desire to see God's will being done and to see his kingdom growing in our own individual lives and in the life of our church and in the life of our town. It's about living that greatest commandment that, as Jesus explains, which is loving God with everything we have, our heart and soul and mind and strength. Mary might have been a young girl from an ordinary family living in a very small and very insignificant village, but her song demonstrates that she does see a bigger picture. She's not just sort of, you know, tunnel vision, her own life, her own community. She extols God's justice and recognizes his work in and his concern for the wider world, bringing down rulers, lifting up the oppressed. At Jesus' birth, she doesn't shut out the shepherds, when we'd have had probably every sympathy with her, that she hadn't really wanted a crowd of rough-looking blokes standing around not long after she'd given birth. But instead, she welcomed those who were on the fringes of the community, and she treasured the message that they brought her. Later still in life, it seems Mary's the one who senses that the wedding in Cana, where they've run out of wine, is now in fact the time for Jesus to go public and to respond to the needs around him. And she goes on to learn the hard lesson that her son is no longer just hers, he belongs to everyone, and she must be willing to let him go in some way and do what he was born to do. In all of those things, I think Mary shows that she is outward looking. She's not completely sort of blinkered to her own life and existence. She sees the needs of others around her. She sees the needs in the world around her. And she sees how God is at work in the world around her and responds to that. And we too, as a church, we want to embody that value of being outward looking, not a sort of little holy huddle. We want to have eyes and ears and hearts that are open to what's going on in the lives of those around us, in our world and our community. What are the issues and the concerns that people have? And to be able to answer those questions, we need to be aware and informed and prayerful as we try and discern what God might have to say about those things and how he wants us to respond. Being outward looking may mean being willing to change how we do things and how we prioritise things. Being outward looking is about seeing that each of us, in our own way, can share something of what Jesus means to us with those that we know, to give him away so that he can do what he needs to do in the lives of others. Mary devoted her life to caring for Jesus. She welcomed him into her life, into her very self. As a loving mother, she was bound to be generous with her time and whatever material help her child needed, and she lavished her love on him. There is a beautiful scene in The Chosen. I don't know if anybody's watching The Chosen. Yeah. Everywhere, all the people I talk to seem to be watching it. It's on the streaming services. I think it's on Prime, but you can watch it on their own website. And in The Chosen, there's a scene, a lovely scene, where Jesus returns to the camp that he and his disciples have, and he's been teaching the crowds and healing people, and he returns late at night, and he's utterly exhausted. And his mum is there, Mary is there, and she gently takes him by the hand, leads him into his tent, takes off his sort of outer sort of robes and takes off his sandals, washes his feet, and she literally tucks him into bed. He might be the Messiah, but she's still his mum. And he still needs her. And that's a beautiful picture of that love and tenderness with which she looked after him. In her song of praise, Mary is overwhelmed by how God has been mindful of the humble state of his servant And yet from now on, all generations would call her blessed, for the Mighty One had done great things for her. She's amazed. She's overwhelmed. She can't believe it. And so her welcoming, her generosity, her love is a response to that gift that he's bestowed on her. This overwhelming gratitude to God for this amazing thing that he's done in her life. And in the same way, wanting to live out our values of love and generosity and welcome as a church, that's our thankful response to all that God has done for us and his many blessings to us. And so we want to be those who are generous with our resources of time and money and our talents. We want to be those who are generous-hearted in how we treat others, generous in our encouragement and our gratitude and our praise. We want to be loving, kind, caring, forgiving, treating others with patience and respect, not just with our words, but with our actions, using our gifts to serve one another and our community with compassion, and seeking to help others wherever we can, whoever they are, whatever their situation. We want to be a place of what I call real welcome. So somewhere that's not just friendly, but somewhere where people can find friends, real friends. Can you see, there's a difference there, isn't there? There's a difference between being friendly, which is great, but is quite a sort of superficial sort of thing, and being somewhere where people can find genuine friendship, which is about relationship, where they can all can feel loved and accepted and valued and know that they have a part to play as well. They can be involved. Whenever I reflect on Mary's life, I'm nearly always in awe of how brave she was. She was just a young girl and living in a society where being unwed and pregnant would have had serious consequences, not just for her reputation, but maybe even for her life. And yet, earlier in Luke, we hear her response to the angel's message. She finds the courage to respond, "I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you've said." She's afraid, perplexed, confused. She doesn't really understand how this will all work out, but she trusts that God is in control. She trusts that the God who has been faithful to his promises to Abraham and her forefathers will be faithful to her. Our value of being a church that's courageous seeks to emulate Mary and be willing to step out in faith, step out of our comfort zones when God calls. We want to be able to make brave decisions when we think that it's the right thing to do, and to live with faith and trust and expectancy in God, just like Mary did. So, we want to be a church that's known for being passionate for God, outward-looking, generous, loving, welcoming, and courageous. But those are just words, aren't they? Even when we take time to flesh them out and describe what we mean by them in more detail, they're just words unless we put them into practice. The PCC have got them printed at the bottom of every PCC agenda to remind ourselves of them. But they're just words unless they actually shape our thinking and our priorities and our decision-making. And I'm delighted to say that, you know, from time to time, quite often, people would be discussing something at PCC and someone will go, "Hang on, we're supposed to be courageous. Let's decide to ... Or we're supposed to be generous. Let's do this." But it'd be good to extend that beyond just PCC and get us all thinking about what these words actually look like when they're put into action. What kinds of things do you expect to see happening if being passionate for God, outward looking, generous, loving, welcoming and courageous, if those are being put into practice, what would it look like? What would it feel like? What would we see happening? So, for example, if I can be cheeky, which I often am, I know, I'd say, as an example, welcoming means that no one is ever told, that's my seat. We laugh, but it happens. Makes me really cross if I ever hear about that. Or being welcoming means a new person gets invited to lunch by someone, and it's not a bring and share week. Or being generous means people give regularly to support the work of the church or a work of a charity. We can probably all think of one or two examples of, if that word is true of what we do, then this is an example of what we'd expect to see happening. What sorts of things would we expect to see if our values aren't just to be fine words, but they're actually part of our DNA as a church? Have a think, because I'm going to get you to give me some examples later on. And you can have a little chat amongst yourselves about it and jot down a few examples. And I'll collect those up at the end. And together with input we've had from the 9 o'clockers, we'll come back later on, and it'll be interesting, really interesting, to see what we've come up with. And I'd say if you're visiting or you're a sort of newcomer, your insights are probably quite important, because you're sort of, you've got like an independent set of eyes looking at us, which is a bit scary, but we embrace that. And so as we give thanks to God for our patron, St. Mary, let's seek to really make St. Mary's values St. Mary's values. Amen.